This morning we're in Matthew 18, 1 to 14, and chapter 19, 13 to 15. So if I ask you this morning, have you had a spiritual conversation with someone in the last week or two? And I don't want you to raise your hands, by the way. But that can mean talking about God's word or how God is working in your life or sharing the gospel. Would you be able to answer, yes, I have? Now, imagine someone said to me, well, yes, I did, but it was with children. Does that count? And I said, no, that doesn't really count. Well, if I did say that, that would be extremely sad answer for me. And you would be quick to reply, haven't you read in the scriptures what Jesus says about children, that he's building his kingdom and that includes them? Absolutely. This morning, as we continue in our summer series, See as Jesus Sees, we want to explore how does Jesus see children. And if he sees them as vital to building up the kingdom, and by the way, don't define building the kingdom or building the church as only getting people saved, because salvation is a decision we make at one point, but growing as a disciple is a lifetime process. And so this is what we should be doing. And whether we have children right now, or are grown up, or we're in the middle of raising children, and we need to think about the children, people's children as well. In Matthew 18, verse 1, the disciples asked Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now remember, chapter and verse divisions were added into your Bibles later on in order to organize them and make them easier to read and find things, which is we're very grateful for. But one of the things that chapter divisions do is it sometimes mentally blocks the context of the passage from other chapters. And so what we want to do is we want to understand the context of how did this question come about. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this incident in the same context. So Matthew 18, Jesus asks the 12, who do you say I am? Peter says, you are the Christ. Shortly after this, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain where they alone get a glimpse of Jesus in his glory. It's a fantastic experience that only the three of them get. Then they come down and they find that the other nine are unable to cast out a demon. And Jesus rebukes them for their little faith. And you wonder if Peter, James, and John are thinking, well, if we had been here, we probably could have done that. And then Peter is asked, they go to Capernaum, and Peter is asked by a tax collector, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Peter says, yes, he does. But then Jesus says to Peter, do kings collect taxes from their sons or others? And Peter says, from others. To which Jesus responds, then the sons are exempt. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the fish, first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. So when we put this all together, Jesus is clearly indicating his disciples are sons. They're different from the rest. The disciples assume that as sons, they are privileged. And so the question as to which one of them is the greatest rises from all this. How do we know that for sure? Because of one very small word in the Greek that most English translations pick up on in chapter 18, verse 1, which says, then they asked Jesus, who then is the greatest in the kingdom, assuming or inferring that they've already had this discussion going on, at least amongst themselves, which Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record they were doing. And we need to be careful along the same lines that we don't get the attitude that as disciples, we're above others, that we are better than others. Now, Jesus doesn't answer this question right away, but instead he calls a child to come up to him and he says, truly, I tell you, unless you change what? Your attitudes, and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Now, before we explore Matthew 18, let's just jump over to Matthew 19, verse 13. And the reason why I mention this is to understand then that the events in chapter 18 have obviously preceded this. So So if Jesus uses children as an example of who's great in the kingdom of heaven, the disciples are not getting this. Because shortly after this event, we read in chapter 19, verse 13, then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Then people brought little children, and these very same disciples who were just told by Jesus, you have to have childlike qualities in the kingdom of heaven. Well, if Jesus desires childlike qualities, he obviously desires children to come to him, because he all wants us to understand that he needs children to build his kingdom. Jesus needs children to build his kingdom. Matthew 19, 13 to 15. So people were bringing their children to Jesus in order for Jesus to bless them by laying hands on them and praying for them. Now, to get a blessing from a father or a rabbi or a priest was huge in the biblical world. And when we read in the Old Testament that someone is giving a blessing to another, it almost always has to do with their destiny. Whether it's a prayer for their future or about their future, it has something to do with their future. And so the reason why Jesus wanted to build his kingdom with adults and children is because he was looking ahead. And so by directly ministering to children, we show that we are looking forward. We don't know if these parents truly believed Jesus was the Messiah. They did believe that Jesus could impact their children for good and build them up. As parents, we appreciate the people, teachers, coaches, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, friends, relatives, and so on, who impact our children for good, but especially for Christ. Everyone here, I'm sure, shaped in their Christ-likeness by, again, many people. By asking for the children to come to Jesus, they do things that are wrong. This is the basic element of the gospel, that all have sinned and are separated from God. Only Jesus can make us right with God. But not all children grow up in a home where the gospel is heard, so we need to have ministries that encourage people to bring children to hear the gospel. We need to encourage our children and grandchildren to be witnesses themselves to their peers. And we can be witnesses to our kids and grandkids' friends as well through lifestyle and word. And as we'll see, when we get back to chapter 18, children are more receptive to the teaching of adults. The reason why Jesus used a child as an illustration for godly greatness is because children remind us how to trust. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, people who are like children, people who come to Jesus as a child would. Jesus doesn't elaborate here on this because he just spoke about it in chapter 18. So let's go back to chapter 18. The disciples were discussing and now ask Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus takes a small child and says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So here Jesus uses a child to illustrate how to enter the kingdom and how to make a difference in the kingdom. And that is that we all need to follow Jesus like children do. The disciples, when we read Mark and Luke's account, were arguing about which one of them was greater than the other, implying that each felt they could contribute more to Jesus' kingdom than others. By rebuking parents for bringing the children to Jesus, they wrongly assumed children could not help advance Jesus' cause to set up his kingdom. So Jesus kind of basically thinks to himself, so these guys still don't understand my kingdom. His kingdom is not entered into, nor does it advance through achievement and power. Jesus says, trust me like a child trusts, by not trying to impress Jesus. Children had no status, power, or privilege.